Hooray!
Hooray!
I mean, we're still.
Wait, so are we. What?
Yes, we're on the Busey's. Now we're on the intro.
Hey, what happened to my Domo?
What's a Domo? Is it the big stuffed animal?
He's in the cup. He's been in the cup for a while.
What? I'm a Domo.
You gotta get your Domo.
Yeah. Domo arigato.
Mr. Roboto?
Yeah.
He's not even in the cup. He's next to the cup.
Oh, no.
Not going to bump over the camera.
Probably
you
for the best,
though,
not to.
You if you want.
Probably best that you don't.
Are we on the air? Are we live? Yeah. Hi, everybody.
We are live.
We're live now. Hello. Hooray!
That's my second best claw machine win ever.
I don't remember what I got, but my mom told me that I would never win, and then I put my 50 cents in and won, and that's the best one I ever got.
I think she meant in life.
Was that you and I that we were at some hotel that we cleared out the claw machine?
Maybe.
There was a claw machine at a hotel in Madison.
Was it the toggle on like every grip?
I think it was because we spent a pretty penny, but we cleared out the machine. We were told to leave.
Yeah. What do they think the machine's for?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is the toggle needs to be set to a low enough number
that it falls off. You
know, that, yeah. Well, it falls off every time except for they set a count. So like if they put it at 8, it's limp 7 times, and then the 8th time it cranks down like a motherfucker. Okay. And so there's no randomness. It's just like every 8th one if that's what they have the toggle.
Well, you can get around that too because sometimes they like pack it in there and it doesn't matter if it clamps down on
it. If it's like leaning over the chute, you can sometimes just punch it through by dropping the claw like on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in general, I meant like if it's too tight to even pull anything out.
Oh yeah, like even when it clanks you might fail too.
Yeah.
I told them to pack it into there with all the stuffed animals, so it's like a really thick pile.
Yeah.
And trying to grip it out of it. You can't pull it up because it's just compact.
You are guaranteed to fail X minus one, or you know, whatever. So if it's set at 8, you will fail those first 7 for sure.
I'm not talking about the claw. The claw just can't actually pull it.
That's my point. That's what I'm getting to. If it's set at 8, you're guaranteed to fail those 7. And then the 8th, which is your one chance to actually get it, is where what you're talking about comes in, where you still might fail because it's packed in.
Yeah.
You know what fails? You know what never fails?
Not playing the claw machine?
A hammer.
Yeah, that's true. Or a trained small child.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the show where the child gets...
Oh, I think it's one of the early How I Met Your Mother episodes.
That one show.
Isn't she reporting from a...
No,
yeah.
Well, I've seen...
Yeah, Robin... Well, maybe another thing too.
Robin's reporting about a child stuck in it, and then Ted like runs down to the store so that he can be like, oh, hey, Robin.
That scenario has been in like 50 shows.
No problem.
That was the only time that's ever happened.
Yep.
How I Met Your Mother invented it.
Yeah.
I don't watch that show, so I've never... Don't remember that sequence.
That's
but
fair.
I remember that sequence from other things.
That's fair. I'm sure it's in lots of things.
I don't watch that show because I've heard it's terrible.
It's great up until
it's
the
great
end.
Right up until the end.
Which means it's terrible.
Well, no, that's like saying Scrubs is terrible because it had like a weird sequel that...
Well, and that's different because that was a sequel, but the network made them change the title of it to Scrubs. and so that is legitimately a differentiated thing, so I'm okay with that.
Oh,
okay.
I still enjoyed parts of it because I liked a couple of the actresses in there, but it's still weird. I mean, but you're all right.
If the title had not been Scrubs, people probably would have liked it. It was okay
and it wasn't,
if it wasn't
and
Scrubs.
It wasn't as good as Scrubs, but it didn't insult what it was. Like, How About Your Mother insulted the show. Like,
right.
Yeah,
like,
it did.
Certain things just... When they insult what they're based on, you're like, well, now it all...
And the thing is, the last season of How I Met Your Mother is weak, but not insulting. It's the final episode that is like, anything you liked or cared about the show, we're going to shit on it.
Well, any growth that these characters experienced didn't happen. It was all just like, pretend.
And that makes it great, because then, you know, the whole show was just like a snuff film.
Yeah, basically.
They were building up all this emotional connection just to hurt you.
It was basically like watching Seinfeld.
Yeah. Even the mom dying wasn't a big deal, but just
an excuse
to be going back to Robin was so dumb.
The other stuff was dumb.
Like, that was fine. I mean, because they even hinted at during the season that she was going to die. You're like, holy crap, that's going to be sad.
Yeah.
But then they made it insulting.
Yep. It was unfortunate.
How did they make it insulting? I guess I don't.
Because at the very first episode.
Just watch all 8 seasons real quick.
Just go watch all of How I Met Your Mother, and then when we hear you crying, we'll know you understand.
Well, so he meets the mother, and then he just says, by the way, she died, and then I fucked this other chick from the show.
Yeah, that I've.
And he's telling the whole story to his kids, obviously.
Yeah. And his kids are like, go fuck that other lady.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, that's literally what his kids say.
I don't believe they said fuck.
No.
Pretty much.
But pretty much.
No, but the viewers did.
Yeah. It's also worth mentioning. Fuck. It's also worth mentioning that the woman that his kids told him to go have sex with, that he's going to go have sex with, was married to his best friend, but they also got divorced in the last 30 minutes of the final episode.
Right.
Yeah. They got married and divorced.
Married and, well, they got married in the first 30 minutes.
Well, yeah. the whole episode.
Of the episode. Yeah. And then they got divorced in the last 30 minutes
so
of the episode.
So there supposed to be 9 seasons of this, and then they decided to cram...
Thought they were subverting expectations in a clever way, and instead they were just insulting everyone ever.
Right, well, I think what happened is they had this was going to be the ending from when they started the show, and then they, like, built these characters so that this wasn't the natural ending anymore, but they're like, nope, this is the ending that we picked... like 9 years ago.
Because when the show started, because obviously the kids grew up, so they filmed the ending with the two young kids. So the ending was filmed during season one.
Yeah.
Season 8. So they always knew what the ending was going to be. It was always wrapped and done and complete.
Yeah.
If it wouldn't have sucked,
it would have been fine. Yeah. But
being intentional and unexpected does not make it good, as certain people feel about the middle of No Country for Old Men. The ending of How I Met Your Mother is the middle of No Country for Old Men.
At 75.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, I know. I've never seen that movie.
Don't. You're okay.
It is an amazing movie if you fall asleep for half of it.
You watch it, you're like, man, I wonder if I'll catch him, and you fall asleep, and you never know what happens, and you're better off.
Yeah, you are way better off.
All right, sounds good.
So
when they say it's all about the chase, that's never been a truer statement.
They are right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great main character, though.
Yeah.
And until he wasn't in the movie anymore.
Welcome to Crippled System, episode 204.
Where we talk about whatever we feel like.
My name is Andy.
My name is Brian.
My name is Nathan.
My name is Katie.
And I'm Jeremy.
I'm so tired. I spent so many hours today sorting my Shadows of Brimstone stuff. So many hours.
I took a nap.
I took a nap, too.
High five!
I went for a walk.
Oh, yeah, I did that, too. Yeah.
We went Pokemoning.
We lost a Pokemon, right?
We did.
You saw Doctor Strange, right?
No.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, whatever. Imagine if 75% of the way through the movie, Doctor Strange was killed off screen, and then the librarian battled the main villain. No, actually, that's not even true.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange is killed off screen, mm-hmm. and then the main villain just wanders around for a while and then leaves, and then the movie ends with a speech by the librarian.
The librarian tells you about his dreams.
Yes. Yeah.
That is how the movie, Strange would have ended if it was No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, yep. That's
Strange
actually
dies
pretty true.
Randomly. The villain just wanders around, and the librarian's like, I had this weird dream.
And then credits roll.
And you're like, I'm going to murder a child now to calm down.
Well, the librarian does come in. Like, they show Doctor Strange going someplace, and the villain's waiting. It's a trap by the villain. And he's going in there like, oh, what's going to happen? And then they cut to the next day, and the librarian comes up and goes, oh, look, it's Doctor Strange's corpse. Interesting. And then wanders off. And then talks about his dreams, and the movie ends.
Yeah.
That's No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Great movie.
But that first 75% is a pretty good movie.
I want to watch it again knowing that in this, no more metaphor. I want to watch it again knowing that despite everything the movie told me, Tommy Lee Jones is the main character.
Yeah.
Maybe I won't be furious at that moment.
I don't.
But he's barely in the movie.
But that doesn't mean it's not about him.
I did. It's been on TV, and I did watch like the first half quite a bit. Then I just like flipped the channel because I do enjoy elements of the first half.
Yeah,
it's not as good. You know what movie we saw yesterday that's better by far? Power Rangers.
Yes,
that was an excellent movie. I would highly recommend it.
I thought you guys saw we're not to that part of the podcast yet.
I don't care.
You shouldn't even care, man.
We're there now.
No, we rented it because it's not in theaters anymore.
Yeah,
and it was surprisingly good. Better than the source material.
So
good.
Like Speed Racer style.
Yes,
not quite as good as Speed
not
Racer.
Not quite as good as Speed Racer because Speed Racer.
But the best review I heard of it is it didn't shy away from the fact that it was from a kid's show, but it didn't like over abuse like
it's still
not.
Teenagers doing stuff. Gotta say, it was such a serious movie, but they still had it. And I swear to God, in the theater, I can only imagine the theater would have went crazy at this. And I'm almost sad I didn't see it just because of it. But the movie's going, and then they literally, you know, the guy's like, it's morphin' time, which, by the way, Katie missed that joke.
Yeah,
but anyway,
Brian said, okay, literally, how much of a buildup was there? Brian looks at us both. In a pause, there's a pause in the dialogue, and he says, hey guys, do you know what time it is?
Yeah.
And Katie doesn't get the joke at all because she never watched the show enough.
Morphin' time!
And then literally on the screen, it's morphin' time.
And it timed it And then
perfectly.
And then, so the and everything with the movie is pretty serious. It's got like real music, and well, you know, normal music, not like kids' music. But then as soon as they fly out in their Zords or whatever they're called,
when they say it's Morphin Time, do they each thrust their thing towards the camera while shouting?
No, they don't do that. They didn't. But they did do when they flew it in their are they called Zords?
Zords.
Yeah.
Zords. They play.
They formed the Megazord.
Well, they flew it in Zords and they played the literal song. They played the Morphin
guitar,
the guitar riff, and the thing. Nice. And I was like, holy crap!
It was amazing.
Any theater would. Filled with fans would have lost their fucking shit at that because it was so goddamn perfectly ridiculous.
And hilariously, at no point in the movie do they or Zardon or
Alpha
exhibit any knowledge that the Megazord's a thing, nor does Rita, until all of a sudden they all fall in a pit to die and then Megazord is born. And you're like, I mean, I knew Megazord was coming, but like, what?
Like, well, no, but that makes sense. That follows the theme of the whole movie, because the whole thing was they've got to work together. And at the last moment, they're like, we die together.
And then they turned into Megazord.
And the Megazord was like, they're together now. I get it.
Yeah, it was unlocked their power of together workingness.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It wasn't a sequence where they just found a button that says Form Sword?
No. In fact, there's a sequence where... So the Zords are all dinosaurs, first of all.
Yeah. Well, except for the Mastodon.
Except for the Mastodon, which is a dinosaur with six legs.
Neither of those things is true. Mastodons are dinosaurs that don't have six legs. What the fuck is that?
The Zord does.
Mastodon's the elephant, right?
Yeah.
No, the Zord definitely has six legs.
They added
of those is a trunk and one is a tail.
Nope.
No, they added legs.
Six legs and legs. Trunk and tail.
Because I looked it up online and the director said that... it made more sense from a CGI perspective to give it another.
So anyway, there's a scene where the pterodactyl picks up the rhinoceros, because obviously this is what happens.
Rhinoceros.
Yes, one of those words is a rhinoceros.
Not a triceratops.
I guess it's a triceratops. Triceratops. I apologize. So anyway,
I'm letting that one.
Could anyone else tell the story?
So he picks up the triceratops. They're flying in at the monster.
That what it is?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're flying in at the monster. He drops the triceratops. Right before he drops the triceratops, there's a screen on the triceratops, and you're like, oh, this is clearly when they're going to form the Megazord. And he presses the button, and nothing appears to happen. A pulse comes out.
Yeah, he gives like an electronic pulse.
But the pulse is when he hits the ground, so it could have just been him hitting the ground.
No, he pushed the button at the same time he hit the ground.
I'm just saying, the only button that seemed like maybe it was Megazord related was a pulse.
Gunman Dennis is correct, by the way. They did unlock the power of the Krispy
Kreme. They did unlock the power
of the Krispy Kreme. Was a critical part of the movie. Also, the villain was great. She was
fantastic.
The actress did a great job.
Well, she's the same gal from Pitch Perfect.
And Hunger Games, yeah.
And Hunger Games and stuff. And she was fantastic,
One thing I have heard is that like Rita appearing and the Zords appearing is completely unrelated and coincidental. Like, neither of them causes the other.
Nope.
Like, in the original series, she gets free, and then Zordon's like, fuck, she's free, I better make Power Rangers.
Nope.
Or in this one, they could have found the Zords and while finding them, accidentally freed her or something. Nope. But instead, just good thing they happened to find Zords?
No, yeah. They said that the Zords formed when they landed on Earth, and it looked more like...
A billion years ago.
Yeah, and it looked more like when the Power Rangers found the...
Crystals,
that's what actually woke Rita up.
It did appear that them getting the crystals... Even though Zordon had no way to control when they got the crystals.
She woke up after
because
they crystals.
Literally dynamited a mountain to get them
but
randomly.
It seemed to be the catalyst.
Seemed to wake her up.
Quick question. It appears that the mammoth actually has eight legs.
No, it's six.
No, it's eight.
No, I
googled the director says six, but I didn't look it up online.
There are definitely eight legs on whatever that thing is.
Huh.
Is that's it, isn't it?
It has six forelegs and two hind legs.
Well, it said six in that when I googled it.
Maybe there's
like,
four on this side and two on the other.
Yeah,
that's probably it.
That
seems
likely.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No,
it's just
together,
a Mastodon that just runs in a circle.
Well, to be fair,
he's going right.
The two
Mastodon
legs on the other
does
side
mostly
are way
just
stronger.
Run in a circle.
See, those are four little legs. He just has one big leg on the other side that makes
that
or the three
front
ones.
It doesn't even look like a Mastodon either.
No. Well, that's why I googled it, because I was like, I don't know what he's driving.
It was the only dinosaur you couldn't identify.
What it is the members of Mastodon are each piloting away.
Yeah.
So it's not a Mastodon, it's just Mastodon.
That was pretty good.
But anyway, it was very enjoyable. And ridiculous.
Yeah, that was, it was like surprisingly entertaining.
My favorite review of it, and it's not an unfair review, was, man, that remake of The Breakfast Club is amazing. Like, it's not an unfair review. It starts out with kids in detention, and then they form together through friendship, and then there's the Power Rangers movie comes out of it.
How much Bulk and Skull is there?
I don't think there's any. But maybe
they don't at least play Bulk and Skull's theme song during the credits?
No.
Because that shit should
No, but the Pink Ranger and the Green Ranger, as normal people, watch the final fight. They're like in the crowd when the final fight ends, and you just see them like looking at the camera, like videotaping with their phones.
The original
Green Ranger and Pink Ranger.
I do like Amy Jo Johnson. Yes. But I'm saying credits are always 30 seconds longer than the main theme, so those last 30 seconds, they should have just played the Bulk and Skull theme as a little Easter egg at the end.
They might have. I was like, why are we watching the credits? He's like, there might be a little cutscene, and I said, I don't think there is, and then he like scrolled through them really quickly.
Yeah, because we were watching on a computer, and I was like, oh, I don't see it. So it might have been there, to be fair.
And yeah, so movies. Today we saw, all of us saw Baby Driver.
Well, not
all of us.
I went to yoga.
And Nathan was working.
So by all of us, do you mean you?
And me. And Andy.
Yeah. Okay.
See, usually Andy's the left out one. So.
I wasn't invited.
You were working.
But I still wasn't invited. The fact that I would have turned the invite down doesn't change the fact that I wasn't invited.
Would you like to come to Baby Driver with us several hours ago when you were working?
Yeah. Okay. I definitely would have liked to. 100% would have liked to.
That's fair.
It was a good movie.
Also, people knew you were working, Nathan.
That's true. We did.
There were birds stuck in there, and I had to get rid of birds. Ugh. It's very difficult.
That sounds lame.
Yes.
Just release a cat into the store.
It would have to be a high jumper. Those birds are up in the rafters.
You need like an Aria cat.
You shoot them. And those birds either really liked each other or really didn't like each other because they followed each other around the store just chirping and shrieking at each other constantly.
Annoying.
I think that's a not liking.
Well,
it depends.
Or it could be a mating.
It could have been like, hey, sexy, don't call me sexy, chase me.
Well, that's a song fellow. What was live that? Forever.
Wow.
Like you don't know.
Somebody needs to make a soundboard of that.
Yeah.
There are many soundboards of our show.
How did you get rid of the birds?
Yeah, what did you do?
One of them got stuck between the window and some shelving.
Sorry.
What? Never mind.
To the windows, to the walls?
Yeah.
I'm
waiting for you to finish the story. Go.
We have like those plastic... stackable shelving drawer things that we have paper in at the copy center, and he got stuck between that and the window, so we just pulled a drawer out and reached in and grabbed him by his stupid bird head and threw him out the window, or out the door.
And then the friend followed? Or?
No, I don't know where the other one went, because without that one to yell at, it was far less active. Like, before that, the two of them were running around, and then that one got stuck behind the window, and the other one, we just don't know where it is. So it either got stuck behind something else, and we'll find it when it starts to smell, or it got out when we weren't paying attention, because we left the doors open. Because the gamble was either more got in or those two got out, and that's a gamble I was willing to take.
that's a bet.
There's like 70 birds everywhere.
That would have been an improvement. Like, more or fewer. Either we're an aviary or we got rid of birds. The two was the worst number to have.
One time my cat brought in a bat that was still alive, and then she like just like dropped it as soon as she entered the foyer, and then there was a bat flying around. I hit it with a box.
I have to imagine there was a Yelp involved there.
There might be
a Yelp review?
You Yelped?
Would you Yelp! Like that?
Like, she doesn't know what a Yelp is.
I thought you meant why the cat dropped it.
No, you!
Well, not really, because I knew she had it in her mouth.
I like how cats, when they bring in...
I've seen you freak out like when you thought you had a tick on her. You wouldn't get within 5 feet of her. I figured an actual live bat like flying around.
Well, yeah, there's a tick.
All right.
To be fair, she's terrified of ticks.
Yeah.
They're nasty.
But, the bat... bringing it because you suck at hunting.
I do. It's true.
You've never killed a single bat.
She's never seen you kill anything, to the best of her knowledge.
I know. That's fine.
Our chat is officially better than the Power Rangers movie because it has Bulk and Skull in it.
It does have Bulk and Skull in it.
I don't know what Twitch marathon they're talking about.
I don't know. Maybe there was like a... Maybe Twitch marathon the old series before the release of the new movie? I don't know. I could see that. That's a guess.
That is a guess. It's not a bad guess.
Twitch likes to marathon TV shows sometimes.
They do. That's true.
Like that Bob Ross channel.
So anyway.
Bob Ross and MST3K.
Yeah, 38 episodes of MST3K. It is... There are some difficult to find episodes of that show now because of how fucking complicated the rights were. Like, there's a lot of the MST3K episodes that they're not allowed to ever air again.
Oh.
Just because the rights to the films have lapsed back. And some, like, the one of the, I forget who it was, but one of the guys that they did, like, 8 or 9 movies by this producer,
yeah.
he died and his wife has the rights now, and she personally just refuses to let them use those movies anymore what? Because she thinks it's an insult to her husband's memory. Name, yeah. He was cool with it. Like, yeah. He gave the rights away, but meh, whatever.
Yeah. What are you doing? What have you. So anyway, movies, fun movies this weekend.
And you guys liked Baby Driver?
Yes. Baby Driver was very enjoyable. It was, I don't know that it's quite what I expected. I'm not sure what I expected, but it was enjoyable. There was definitely driving, so it had that.
It was directed by What's-His-Face, and he's good at things.
Yes, that's true.
Very good, very charismatic characters all about.
Characters were all, even the bit characters were really solid.
Yep. And some of the things that you think, like, there are certain things that happened that you didn't, I was a little surprised by, which yep. is nice. Like, it wasn't necessarily, like, cut and paste. Like,
there were several times they subverted what I expected to have happen. In a good way. Like, I wasn't, like, angry about it, like, No Country for Old Men. Like, it was an enjoyable subversion.
They didn't kill Baby Driver off.
Yeah, Baby Driver didn't die off screen 50% through the film.
Maybe it would be better if it was a literal baby driving.
I think that's,
be careful what you...
The Little Boss Baby.
Yeah. I want that.
Okay.
So, it's a sequel.
I almost wish that sometimes in movies where they would have foreshadowing, if they wouldn't continue shoving that foreshadowing down our throats. There's like at least one major sequence in the film where they foreshadowed something and they kept on going back to it.
So instead going of being subtle to it, and clever foreshadowing, it's just rammed down your throat.
Yeah, only if you're talking about the speaker thing, because I only saw that.
No, nope. Okay. Talking about the rebar.
Yeah, the rebar was pretty. Like, look at the truck, look away. Look at the truck, look away. Look at the truck, look away. Look at the truck.
Yeah,
what's they all come running out. Kill him.
Well, it was more. I was trying to avoid something. Well, it was more. It was more because it was more because of the person behind it. It was more because of the person who was going back and forth.
Uh oh,
Jeremy.
Your mother just called me.
Oh, she didn't call me.
Wah wah.
My mom's learning. I should just. I'm getting her to just text, not call.
Huh?
Your mom? That must be nice.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremy's mom called me.
That would be truly bizarre.
Yeah, I know. I got a magic phone.
Now she's calling you, Katie. You're her backup.
Your mom?
No, Katie's mom is calling her now because it's her backup. Calling me is the primary call.
Send her to voicemail. You're busy.
I'm trying.
Your poor mother.
Hopefully she's not watching live.
Your poor mother.
Your mom's on Twitch.
My mom listened to like our second episode and was like, I'm not going to listen to it anymore. You guys are dirty.
She's not wrong.
Don't use those words.
I think we talked about that too.
Did we ever? I was trying to do a G-rated cast once because of my nephew.
How'd that
work out? I don't remember if we ever. I went a whole one without swearing once.
Did you break out in a cold sweat?
That you had a problem with.
It's the whole like fisting.
You didn't swear, but you know there was a lot of things happening.
The bucket episode, for example.
Yeah,
I was not present for the bucket episode, but I've heard about it many times.
You were at the bucket.
Not as far as I am willing to admit.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
I was on it.
Yeah,
because it wasn't until like episode like 130 or something that I missed one.
That was the episode where one of the participants asked us to disguise his name for
yeah.
To be fair, he was right to do so because he yes
yeah.
Well, we haven't figured out our real names.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, we are all unemployable after this.
At least we're clever enough to use each other's names.
Yeah.
We'll never figure out which one of us is actually named Katie.
It's a mystery. All right. Good times.
So what else? What else? What else people got going on?
I watched the first half of Dune yesterday. Good times.
Which Dune?
Which one?
The David Lynch one.
Oh, okay.
We went to pre-played, and I bought Unforgiven, and we went there to buy the Friday the 13th remake, mm-hmm. because I kept talking it up to coworkers.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a copy anymore, because I think I loaned it to somebody who never gave it back. So I bought that, and then I bought Unforgiven. Might have been. I bought Unforgiven, because Raylene had never seen Unforgiven, and she loves Clint Eastwood, so I got mm-hmm. that. And then Dune was there. I'm like, fuck it. I can't remember if I like Dune or not, so I bought Dune.
It's fine. I mean, it's... I love
Dune, the mythos, the setting.
The world is amazing.
I've played all the RTSs. I love Dune, and I hate David Lynch, and it's amazing how every second of that film, those two things are warring with all their might, like Godzilla and the Mutos.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I never paid attention to any of the actual mythos of Dune, but yeah. I really actually like the film. Yeah, the film is, I think it actually, It stands the time. The special effects in it are actually really good. The special effects
hold up surprisingly well.
For a movie that's 30 years old.
The only special effects that don't really hold up are the early CGI ones. But like when you look at like the original Star Wars and they had all the puppets mm-hmm. and stuff, it looks really good. They did well, a really good job.
Well, even a lot of like the 80s horror, they relied on making things. It was all props. It wasn't CGI. Yeah, right. Exactly right. The early CGI is where you lose it. Because
yeah, the early CGI was pretty weak.
And Dune's interesting because they have one piece of CGI in it, but that really doesn't hold up. But it's okay that it doesn't hold up. It's almost better that way, which is the personal force shield. When they're knife fighting, like they put on force shields instead of being like the shimmer around them. It's literally they look like blocks. Minecraft people. Like they just have giant rectangular blocks, and their torsos are just Gumby style rectangle of just a yellow shield.
Yeah.
And it's so bulky and bizarre, but it kind of is okay because it's supposed to be crude, ugly technology.
Right.
And so even though that's just because it's shitty old CGI, it's like, yeah, that's okay. It still looks like force field.
Yeah.
It's like the shot of, I don't know what the brain thing is, but when that thing is brought in.
The Space Guild.
The Space Guild.
Yes. Yeah. When that thing is brought in for the first time, it's just such a really, really cool shot.
The turd in a fish tank.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah, I love that world. That book series, there are a few book series that I have read through multiple times, and Dune is one of them.
I would never bother reading the whole series again.
No.
So the first book is a masterpiece.
Yeah, the first book's amazing.
One of the top 10 novels, in my opinion, ever. Might be the top sci-fi novel, if you're going sci-fi specifically. It might be. The first trilogy is damned solid. I would read the trilogy over and over and over again.
So that's Dune, Children of Dune,
and the Dune Messiah.
Okay.
This is the one with the giant sandworms, right?
Yes. Yeah.
After that, it gets weird.
So God Emperor Dune is 4 or 5?
The third one ends with the assassination of... Yes.
Okay, so 4 must be God Emperor of Dune. Yes.
And so after that, it just gets weird.
It does. 4 definitely takes a weird, bizarre twist.
And so it gets weird, and then his son takes over and it gets bad.
Yeah, I only read up through... It's the first 4 or 5. I can't remember if God Emperor Dune's the last one or there's one more that he wrote. I read those, and then I pretend that his son never touched a pen. Because I've read a couple of them, and they're just not good. And then the ones that are coming out nowadays, because some of them are still being released, are, like, not even written by his son. They're, like, ghost-written with his son's name. It's bizarre.
Yeah. No, and it's... I think that each of each one is less good than the previous one, but the first three almost maintain it, and it's just a big dip for the fourth and fifth one, which is why you can read all 5 of them, and it's cool, but the first three are just so solid, and they're contained enough. And the first one is contained enough that I'm
you don't
perfectly
have to read
happy
the
to recommend people just read that one.
I would agree. You can just read the first one, and it's not you're not doing yourself a disservice. It's just if you really like the world, there's more there.
Yeah,
challenge was I read Dune for the first time in the last 3 years, and I just... It was
you
too
saw
hyped.
The movie?
No, I read the book.
Like, you'd heard too much about it.
Within the last 3 years, I read the book finally, and I thought it was okay, but it was just one of those things where it was just too talked about for too long by too many people that it was just hard to get a fair opinion of it. And it is written long far enough ago that it's the writing style is older. It's like when I read the Black Company books, they're from the 80s, and their writing style is different. It doesn't make it bad. It just makes a difference. So when you read, like, Dune was written a long time ago, so its style 65. Is just different. Yeah, so there is definitely a different feel to that.
I like the sound of thunder.
The storm.
And there's also sirens going off in the background, so it's like a thunderstorm of sirens. It's, like, the best.
That's quality podcasting.
Yeah.
People were shooting off fireworks already yesterday, last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, our neighbors.
I love neighbors. Anyone who shoots out fireworks in town, I like because I know those people are idiots, and I just like to have them marked.
My neighborhood
somebody
this time
set
of
off
year.
A big one.
Yeah.
Like one of the ones that like.
Sure,
they
that
set was off
another
a
meth lab
show.
Exploding.
No, because we were walking by, and he's like, "Hey guys, I just want to let you know I'm setting off a firework." And I was like, "Okay." And then it was like, "Bye-bye." Like,
is
okay.
A big firework.
I'm like, you know, you're in the city, you fucking idiots.
Yeah.
My neighborhood, I get to play the fun game, which is that a firework or gunshots?
Well, yeah. I was just saying.
The other 11 months of the year, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a gunshot. But this month is like, could be fireworks.
It's a gun, but it could be a firework.
They're using fireworks to mask the gunshot.
Yeah, it's just a drive-by with Roman candles and a Glock.
And also a Glock.
It's festive.
There we got a shotgun with a bunch of Roman candles on the end of it.
That was the Roman candles.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of Roman candles, was it a dachshund? There's an internet video with a dachshund that grabs a Roman candle
it's
and then
around.
Just run around chasing its owners with the Roman candle.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, you know.
Yeah, they set it up and he just runs out and grabs it. He's like, I got it, Daddy!
I got it!
Running around shooting Roman Candle.
Every time it fires off, it freaks out for a second.
It but a it never video. Drops it.
Nope.
No. Is the dog okay?
Yeah, the dog's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Is its ears okay?
Yeah,
because it's in its mouth. Like it's holding its mouth and it's shooting out the... Oh, sorry. Whoa. It's shooting out the side. You know, because it's not like it's holding it forward and getting the recoil. It grabs it, and so it's shooting sideways. So it's not even shooting at the people it's chasing. It's shooting at the people next to it while it's chasing different
people. The people it's ignoring.
It's not like the old possibly true, possibly false story about the guy who was he was going to go ice fishing, and he was using, like, dynamite to blast through the ice, and his retriever brought the dynamite back to him.
I've heard the story. I'm pretty sure it's apocryphal, but I could be wrong.
It's probably apocryphal. On the other hand, maybe not.
Well, on the other hand, it'd be terrible. What else we got today? I don't know that we actually had topics today.
Well, I don't know. I spent 12 hours assembling Shadows of Brimstone, like, accessories and card sleeving.
Well, the picture you sent me of those two boxes, like, you basically had a U-Haul truck back up to your house.
Yeah. Speaking of U-Haul, have you guys heard, or maybe not, My Fun Friday?
I don't know that I've heard this
so
yet.
So, Friday... I get a call from my stepdaughter.
Okay.
She called me instead of her mom because she knows her mom would have just yelled at her, and I just, like, grit my teeth and go, we'll get through this. Like, mm-hmm. So I'm her go-through when something goes terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Because I just don't care. I'm a nihilist. Well, I'll die eventually anyway, so we'll just solve this stuff in the meantime. So she is moving out of her place. She's moving into her new apartment August 1st.
Okay.
So she calls me Friday, last day of June, and says, my landlord fucked up, and he called me and he said that I have to be out today, so I need to go home, I need to get my lease, and I need to go, can you come with me to talk to my landlord to point out that they're wrong about the lease? I'm like, yeah, whatever, we'll do that, fine, that's sure. Fine. So she gets home, she calls me, and she's like, hey, funny story.
They're not wrong.
So at 3 in the afternoon on Friday, she found out her lease was up that night at midnight.
That's
and
weird.
She had no place to live until August 1st. So after work, I had to go to her place, load all of her worldly possessions into a U-Haul truck, find a place to put all of her worldly possessions, and find a place for her to live for the next month.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
good times.
Off of Todd Drive, there's some month-by-month rental places that aren't that bad, and they've got some, like, nice...
Hey,
facilities.
You know what's month-to-month rental? Her place, because her landlord said, hey, you can stay. There's just like $100 fee because... And she was just angry at him, so she said no.
What?
And we found that out halfway through loading up the U-Haul, and I almost choked her to death.
Yeah, I would have killed her.
The other thing that's weird is usually landlords send a notice like the week before that's like, hey, just a reminder, your lease is up next week.
And
I've never gotten
she was mad about not being reminded, which is why she said, I don't want to stay here another month. But on the other hand, I'm like, I would have paid it. I would have paid everything.
Right?
Well, I would have just said, do you have another apartment? Like, even if he didn't say that, like, I would have been like, I don't have anywhere to go for a month. Is there, like, another apartment that I can
Well,
just,
and what
like,
are the odds that he's got it rented already? Like,
so you and who was helping him move?
Raylene. But once we got the U-Haul, like, half-loaded, the stepdaughter was like, oh, we can't leave it unguarded. So Raylene's job became sit on the grass playing on her Kindle so that nobody stole everything out of the U-Haul.
You can just leave the U-Haul. It
was
just,
you sure can, but, yeah, I wasn't going to fight. That was my Friday. Good times.
Hey,
great
thanks
oldies.
For calling. We would have helped if you called.
So the place,
I would not have.
I would not have blamed you. The place where we found to put all our worldly possessions, it's called my basement.
Oh.
Actually, that's half of it. The other half is in a storage facility in Mazamani.
Really?
So we had to drive up to Mazamani at midnight to unload our U-Haul, go back and do a second trip and load all of our stuff that now wouldn't fit into the Mazamani place into our basement.
Oh, my God. Because carrying luggage up and down extra flights of stairs is always hilarious.
Also, that same day, our other stepkid, there's three, but the other one was moving into our house with his fiance. So we were moving two sets of stepchildren simultaneously into our house, and I want to die.
Yeah, that sounds pretty terrible.
I'm just messing with Twitch here to see if I can...
Does that actually show?
Go, little Dachshund, go! Yay! He's running around shooting. Padoosh!
Like, what is that over there?
Yeah, it's on purpose. That dog's angry about something.
Or really happy.
Yeah. I like that they're bothering to chase it. It's like, just stay away.
Yeah.
It'll run out of rounds eventually, and then he just has a cardboard tube.
Yeah, and then you can just worry about that then.
There you go.
That was funny.
Awesome,
that
I can do cute. That now. I didn't know I could.
But now chat's gone.
No, chat will be there. It'll be fine.
I don't know. This looks really sketchy.
You guys can talk.
I'm really glad that it's raining because yesterday we planted a bunch of plants and now I don't have to water them and I'm excited about that.
That's true. We did a lot of yard work yesterday. The backyard looks really good on the bright side.
Our friend Chris is moving next week, and it's great because he's getting movers because he's an adult.
Flame strike?
I mean, he had plenty. It wasn't like a surprise. He kind of got movers yesterday.
They're getting a new house, right? Yeah, I remember talking about house, it.
The best thing about movers is they don't have to ask me.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's on the very, very, very short list of people I would probably say yes to if they asked me to help move. There's like three people on that list.
I like that. There's three people on that list. Minus him leaves two people, and there's four of us in this room.
Clearly, at least 50% of us, maybe more, are not on that list.
Yeah. Oh, you two are not on the list because I expect you two to pay for movers. I mean, no way.
Damn it.
I'd help you two.
He's got
a valid point. And of these two, one of them might not be on the list. Actually, probably neither of them.
You didn't help me last time.
There you go.
Wait, no, I think. Maybe
I gave a little bit of assist.
Brian's just mad at me because I got credit for a couple of TV show recommendations. Maybe if you recommended more strongly, I wouldn't get credit.
I recommended like four times. You recommended the fifth time. Oh, thanks, Nathan.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah. You're welcome, Internet.
Well, the last times I moved, so yeah, I got movers for myself. So now I feel like now that I moved myself, I know. Because when you help someone move, it's a nonstop. You help me, I help you, I help you, you help
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Pass around the thing. But now that I've opted out of
yeah.
the
Yeah, once you break move, the cycle, right.
now
you're
just,
out of the cycle.
I say, here's $600. I never have to help someone move again. It's yeah. a good fee.
One time, my mom got professional movers to help her move, and they were like a scam group. Yeah. Like, she got totally fucked. Because what they did, and it's the shadiest goddamn thing, was they estimated how long it would take them to they did it by, like, step count or something, but they estimated what it would take for them to move her stuff. Sure. And then when they met that estimate, they're like, oh, well, we're not done yet. We'll keep working at double the rate that the estimate was quoted at because what? Now we're into extra work and extra work
oh,
costs double. And, of course, now half her shit is on their truck.
Yeah.
So she can't say no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
I watched episodes of Judge Judy with those.
There are so many, and that's probably true scams. Where you are. But like, say like Madison has some pretty reputable movers.
Yeah, oh sure.
But there are like any.
She was
any
moving market. Out of Chicago.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Well, I've never told you guys what happened to me when I moved to Madison.
Yeah, but we didn't care.
All right, well that's fine too then.
Wow, that was
kind of wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, it was. At least I didn't put a model in a Twinkie.
What I would true. Do is say okay, and then call my credit card company and tell them it's a false charge.
That actually happened on that same Judge Judy show.
So what good did call. Judge Judy say?
They went by the contract, what they had.
So and she paid only the contract.
Written into the contract, and that was bad for the person.
Right. Yeah. On the flip side, like, she still gets paid. Like, the way that those shows work,
yeah.
you know, so at the very least her bill got paid for it.
Yeah.
The best thing I saw on Judge Judy was when somebody was suing because some guys stole, like, her purse. Yeah. And she was giving a list of what was in the purse. And she said, there was this, there was this, there was this, there was, you know, like, some lipstick. And the guy goes, there wasn't any lipstick in there. And Judge Judy just burst out laughing and just banged her gavel and left the room.
Yeah.
That is the reason to watch the shows.
Judge Judy. He thinks it's retarded.
She's my third favorite of the daytime judges. She's solid.
Man, she makes so much money.
Yeah, oh yeah.
She does make obscene amounts of money.
She makes a lot of money and she's so like an old biddy that just
she's the old biddy.
Not going to take your shit.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. Her Marilyn Million and Judge Mathis are all worth watching. Yeah.
I just
not Judge Joe Brown. Fuck that guy.
The problem I have with them isn't so much them. It's just most people I know that watch that kind of stuff will watch that kind of crap then roll right into like a Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
And so you guys understand that, but it's like there's too much association with other people that by association, I can't handle them because they enable those other terrible things.
Well, I didn't watch Survivor and Big Brother for a long, long, long time because the people I knew that watched Survivor and or Big Brother also watched Real Housewives and watched
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor yeah. and watched like all of those shows that I know are horrific and stupid and terrible and like, oh my God, just kill yourself. And so I never watched them. And then recently, Brian's friend Tim, well, I guess he's our friend Tim as well, but Brian originally introduced us to Tim, finally convinced Katie and I to watch Big Brother.
No, that's not true. I was watching Big Brother by myself.
Oh, were you?
And you told Tim about it, and then Tim and I were chatting back and forth about it.
And then I got pulled into it.
And you were like, I guess I want to watch it too.
So anyway.
Well, because Tim pulled me into Survivor somewhere around like season 29. So obviously the show's up for a long time. I had never considered watching it.
Yeah.
But Tim, for years, was him and some coworkers were having so much fun watching it. I finally got pulled in.
Well, and that was the thing. Like, we watched Big Brother, and then we got all into Survivor because Big Brother was so good.
Yeah, I like Big Brother better than Survivor.
And then Tim got us into The Genius, which I got Nathan into.
Which I haven't watched yet, but
you guys have to watch The Genius.
We will watch it at some point.
God damn it, watch The Genius.
So we probably won't be here for the next couple of podcasts because Big Brother shows at 7 p.m.
on Sunday.
You have a DVR.
We actually don't.
We have CBS All Access.
Which means we can't watch it until the next fucking day.
Yeah.
Like a loser.
So let's watch the next day then.
Yeah.
I know your schedule's pretty busy, Katie.
We're also leaving on a giant trip in like 3 weeks. So you guys, I don't know if we've actually said that on air.
We're leaving on a shitty garbage trip for shitty garbage people going to shitty garbage cities. I'm sorry, does it include going to literally the worst city on the planet? Oh, wait, it does. So it can't be that good.
So you guys disregard the rest of the trip because of the 2 days we're in Rome. Because
we're in Rome.
2 days?
Well,
that's like a day and a half. One would be bad enough.
What?
It might be 3 days.
When?
Well, it's the worst!
Because we get in.
We get in the Rome. Evening, and then we're there for the Rome day, and then the next day we leave at like 2.
It's like 3 days.
It's like a day and a half.
Have you been?
No.
Do it's not very be. Dirty. Do not be to Rome.
My best experience in Rome was this old
leaving
lady.
It?
Well, yes.
This old lady ran into me and then started yelling at me.
Was this when he? When
she was probably trying to rob you as well.
No, she wasn't. I was just in her way.
No. This will be our first time in Rome together, actually.
Security at Rome held me at AK-47 gunpoint for 10 minutes, and that was the best part of being in Rome. Because it was at the airport on my way out, and I'm like, this is worth leaving Rome.
To be fair, you're a sketchy-looking individual.
I forgot that I had fingernail clippers in my pants pocket.
Oh, jeez.
This was like September 13th, 2001.
Like, it was a bad day to forget.
Well, the bad day to forget your nail clippers. Yeah.
They were attached to a grenade.
I think it was actually November, but it was briefly after.
I flew October that year. It was unfortunate.
People were twitchy. Like, it was literally like, after it beeped, I'm like, oh, look, I have nail fi-, and there's AKs pointing at me. Yeah. I'm like, ah, ha, 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 you can have them. I pretended don't like I was them. Retarded. I'm not even lying. I don't know how why. Like, none of this is a lie. I literally did that because I figured that would be more likely to make them not kill me.
I mean, that's probably true.
You went full retard.
I went full retard. I really did. So,
if someone's pointing guns at me, I understand. It's understandable.
November of that year, I flew from Indiana back to Delaware, and Indiana was on like lockdown because they were convinced that the chemical weapons processing facilities in Indiana, which no one gives any shits about, were a major target. Only I flew home with a beard twice as long as Nathan's, but brown, with my skin dark and long dark brown hair in like torn up clothes because I was a college student.
Yeah.
I got everything except fisted at that airport. I was in the security line. Wow. After I got up to the security scanner, I was there over an hour. And during that period, they found my lockpick set in my baggage, which they also did not appreciate.
Yeah, but did you go full retard?
I did not go full retard. I got angry, which was probably not the right move in that particular juncture.
I was only held up for like I said, 10 minutes.
Oh, no, I was there over an hour. It's a good thing I was there early for my flight.
But I think every minute with a gun pointed at you, though, it does change.
No guns were pointed at me.
It's like dog time.
There were no guns.
I don't know why that was my first idea of how to solve the situation. I just handed one of them the thing and just kind of started wandering away, and they let me go.
Just yelling Hodor.
Within the next year of after 9/11, I ended up flying out to my mom's place, and I took all my paints with me.
Oh, all the liquid?
Yeah. All my little mini paints. Yeah. I took them all with me, and they let me have them.
What?
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Well, they test the people all the time, and people get on the plane. They always fail like 99%.
Oh, they fail almost every
people
test.
People get on the plane with like everything ridiculous. If you put the effort into
I've gotten on the plane with scissors since since 9/11, oh, yeah, like this long in my purse because I forgot about them. And yeah, so I got to the other place I was going. I was like, oh, look, I have scissors.
To be fair, they have caught zero people ever, ever.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know.
So they got that going for
them. They got that going for them.
But yeah, they
that's worth them videotaping your genitals in a giant machine that costs a fuck ton, hey, of
at least
tax
someone's
money
looking at them.
Yeah, that's true.
Really? He's like, turn off the lights.
Wow. Oh, that was savage. Quick, Nathan, act retarded, see if it helps.
That's what I do when Raylene tells me to turn off the lights. So I turn off the lights and go, I don't know lights.
Oh, my wow God.
Oh, this is terrible. We had a guy write in and complain once because Brian said Riri. This is going to be
oh,
awful.
This is
going
to be way worse. Way
can't
worse.
Can't handle the word retard.
I'm You're sorry listening to the wrong podcast.
I don't mean it in a bad way. I like the retards.
I mean, if John hasn't kicked us off of Muse yet, I mean, we're pretty safe.
That does shock
I
me.
I just don't know when it went to not a PC word, except for all of a sudden people at work start yelling at me.
All the words that your family says, they're not PC. Every word.
It's used, it's used in a derogatory way. I think that's why
I
it's
blame
not
the millennials.
Yeah. I blame the millennials
well,
for everything,
actually,
too.
Who I blame are people who get offended on behalf of other people.
Oh,
yeah.
The social justice warriors?
Yep.
Well,
SJWs.
If I don't want to use that word because it's like parents of mentally handicapped children that get offended.
Ah.
And so they don't want people using the word because I think it reminds them of their children and they take it personally as opposed to people just being like calling someone an idiot. I mean, that's basically what it is you're being an idiot.
Right, right. I mean, and yeah, so I think that's what the thing is, though. Calling somebody else retarded when they're being an idiot is offensive to actually mentally handicapped people. The same way that if I think that Jeremy's doing something stupid, I tell him he's being faggy.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I'm not saying, you know, like, I'm not calling a gay guy a fag. You know, I'm not using a direct slur,
but
I'm using
a
slur word.
I don't
word
know that mentally handicapped people get offended.
Well, probably not because they're too retarded to understand.
Oh my God,
that was right there.
Oh my God.
There was no way I couldn't say that.
You were just quicker than
me.
You were quicker than me. I was like, I was choking on it. Hey, that's really the problem.
I knew you of anyone.
Oh
had
yeah
it there.
I inhaled instead of exhaled. I almost passed out trying to get it out. Oh my God, that was pretty awful.
That was glorious.
I'm going to have to edit out like a 45-minute mark now.
So anyway.
So after the podcast, I have a really bad story I got to tell you guys.
Why after?
It's really, really bad.
If Katie doesn't want to say it on air, Andy, imagine how bad it is.
It's not. So no. I used to work for a small company, and the owner's wife said some very derogatory things. And I don't want to say them on air.
That's fair. No, fair enough.
That's fair.
I offended someone really bad on the internet this week. They actually had to message me personally after I insulted them. They're like, hey, dude. I'm like, oh, good for you.
Like, what did you say to
there's
him?
There's a red square.
I mean, what do you say that offended them?
I just call him a fuckwad and super pretentious, and I just had a nice little sentence. It was actually kind of a small, but it was very pinpointed and very. It was a deep, simple cut. Yes,
yeah.
it was a targeted cut.
Yeah,
I was very proud.
It wasn't
of
a gash. It was a
no,
stab.
It was
surgical precision.
Yeah, that was just Jason showing up at the doorstep. Is basically what yeah Ryan did.
It was pretty good.
I pointed out to him when we were playing Friday the 13th, and then I suddenly saw his post afterwards. I'm like, whoo!
Yeah, he's like, so-and-so said something really stupid. And I go, well, he did. And I quick responded with just a nice little, you know,
oh my,
mortal wound and went back to the game. Well, I didn't have time for anything long, so I just had to like get to the point. And I didn't even read the full message. I just had, you have a message from so-and-so. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't even care.
Oh, man,
yeah,
I feel like I missed this, and I'm
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, you need to pass this on to me. I mean,
the
we're
person,
not going to talk
you,
about it
you
on
blocked
here
the person. I thought Facebook unblocked the person from me. For yeah some reason.
Well, I know who that person
Facebook
probably
is. Facebook is like, no, you need to enjoy this person some more. And I'm like, no, I don't, Facebook.
Is it a certain XPG?
It's a pickle.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I don't know who that is.
I know who it is.
You tell me.
We'll tell you, all this off-air stuff later.
We'll talk later.
Yeah, tell me in my ear.
No,
yeah,
it's fine.
We'll talk shit about people later off-air. The listeners don't know
I will
people
insult anyone locally on the air, or I will insult anyone that I know is listening on the air.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't want to insult people I know aren't listening who aren't local.
Yeah,
that's where it's rude.
Because that's right behind their back then.
I say certain things about certain people locally, and then it has to get edited out because it's just too on the edge. Although Quimby is a noob. And that was the nicest thing I've ever said as far as as being
it's
mean.
The nicest thing you've ever said about Quimby.
If he was here, I would have been. If he was like sitting in that chair when you said that comment, I would have been perfectly fine.
I mean, I guess you shouldn't. You shouldn't say mean things about minors. I guess understand. You know, he isn't an adult yet, so insulting someone.
Minors, not minors.
No, he's a minor.
Oh, you broke your toy.
Impossibear's head fell off. That's impossible.
Apparently not.
No. Do we have a topic? No.
45 minutes.
We did another kitchen competence, and I burped, and it smells bad.
Those are two different things.
Is that
two unrelated things. No.
It's just like a three minute.
No,
episode.
One of the things is in the past, and one is happening right now.
Next week, we're going to do oxtail soup.
Yeah.
I have been requested by two people to crash your episode with some crackers and eggs and just be like, you're in the middle of it. It's like, nope, hold on, people. I need a show to make this great course.
We've told you could come over.
Bring a light.
So, I got an idea. Just do it in picture in picture.
Oh, God.
A little shot of you down in the corner, like making crackers and eggs.
I think you're making assumptions about our editor.
No, and then keep it going the whole length, because his will take like 30 seconds, and the whole time it's in the corner just eating the crackers and eggs with the fork.
So, I can help
and then you
that.
Finish, and then you're just washing the dishes.
Technically, there's a third episode that's in the can, but I haven't got it edited yet. Because you guys, we have two posted, and then you guys filmed a third already.
Yeah, when you say in the can, I thought you meant you threw it away.
Like, no. Like, sorry. No, it's recorded, but not yet edited.
I thought you meant it was pooping.
Speaking of editing, we need to work on a new pain train. I realized after watching the previous pain train, because I was watching it as I was editing, that we talked about way too much of what another reviewer talked about.
Yeah, well, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm excited to try oxtail soup. Nathan's had it before. It was Nathan's pick. But he said it's amazing, and it sounds fantastic.
I made it before.
Oh, you've never eaten it before?
I made it when I was working in a restaurant during college. I never actually got to eat it. I taste tested, but I've never like sat down with a bowl of it.
Okay.
I ate some kale yesterday.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's my story.
Yeah. Well, we were going to bake some kale.
I was promised for baked kale with like
and
stuff.
Then Katie decided not to bake it, but still put it on our plates for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, we still needed our vegetable for the day. You got it 14 seconds
I don't know what has ever sent you a vegetable a day other than terrorists and retards.
You would be adorable, retarded terrorist.
That would be an amazing sitcom.
He's got a suicide vest, but the helmet on too. Yeah. I decided I don't care this episode.
little bus just getting around. Oh, man.
Is he a friend?
Like, you know when they drive the truck into the military places to blow up, but it's a short bus, and they're just driving the short bus through the military
and
cordon.
They park it in the handicap spot.
Yeah, handicap spot.
Because that's the closest to the target.
Hey, equal rights. Retards can be terrorists, too. There's nothing
I think
to
most,
hold them.
I think most terrorists are retards.
Well, I guess yeah.
Well, there's something right in your brain.
I really like, I believe it's actually pronounced pho, not faux. I always mispronounce it, though.
Yeah, it's pronounced pho. The reason you know it's pronounced pho is because every strip mall pho joint that thinks they're clever calls himself the pho king.
Ah, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But anyway, I really like pho. So, Andy,
good.
About
pho. Pho is good. Any salty broth style soup, like ramen, pho, chicken noodle, like those are all good.
The problem with a lot of soups is I haven't put celery in there, and celery just ruins everything.
Speaking of ramen, have you been to, there's a, so, where,
right Umami next to, Ramen Kid or Ramen Station?
The one where Fish Hatchery meets.
That's Ramen Station.
I really liked Ramen Station.
Yeah, I haven't made it to Ramen Station yet. I was to Umami years ago when it was the only ramen place in Madison, and it was okay. Ramen Kid I haven't been to yet, and Ramen Station I haven't been to
Went to Ramen Station a couple weeks after they opened, because like the first week or two they were open, they were just a madhouse apparently. And then once it calmed down, I went with some friends for lunch, and it was tasty. But the problem is, I don't know that I liked it more than pho, and it's more expensive than pho. And Brian is...
Andy, I don't think you just smushed them together.
The velocity. Brian. Jump on in.
Jump on in.
So, yeah. What? Pho? It's a thing?
Yeah, continue with your story.
No, I'm good.
When you're coming up, it's Olin that dead ends into to Fish Hatchery there. The stoplight is there, so instead of it saying Ramen Station, it says Ramen Tadio.
It doesn't
that's
really.
That's what I call it, because the S and the N are covered up.
Oh, that makes sense.
Ramen Tadio. I've tried to go there three times, and it's been closed every time. Because they have that window where they have like lunch from X to Y, and then an hour later they start dinner, so they spend that hour being closed for no reason.
For no reason. Jeremy, well, I mean, they
Jeremy,
might have
look
reason.
At his butt.
I don't know why you asked, but I did.
So yeah, so I liked Ramen Station. I still think the pho place. There's also a place that's not technically pho. They call it Chinese Soup. That's right down next to the Badger Stadium.
So the correct place to go is Saigon Noodles on Odana.
I like Saigon noodles. I don't know that it's my favorite.
What? I like talking about local places.
I was going to say, I'm not often, I don't often care what our listeners, but I think listeners are like, what's happening right now?
Anyway, just saying, delicious food.
Yeah, this is where they're like, I can't watch this show.
Whatever. It's like, I was upset at the retards, but now this local cuisine thing is killing me.
One of our first like 4 or 5 episodes, we talked about Cato's Cajun in the mall for like 20 minutes. Because we talked about sneaking extra samples.
Yep. Which is still a good tip.
That's almost like every other episode.
I have to, like,
yeah, but it's a good, you know.
They're so for, like, the last thing I want is their food, and they keep trying to throw it at me, so I have to keep swatting it away.
Swat it into my mouth.
I go, if I'm eating the mall.
That's a soundboard.
Yeah.
I go to the sub place. I love the subs there.
That's fine, but you go and you get your free steak sample escape? Of Cato's Cajuns.
Yeah. No.
The actual sub place?
Yeah.
Because I like Steak Escape.
Steak Escape's good, too. Oh, they do the, they fresh cut their fries there. Yep. More local restaurant talk. Although these are franchises.
Those are chains. Yeah, they're in every mall ever.
With the Steak Escape, though, you got to go. That's on your way out of the mall.
I have either sandwiches from the sandwich place or pretzels.
On your way in, you get your Cato's Cajun sample.
Yep.
Then you go shopping.
Yeah.
Then you come back and get a Cato's Cajun sample.
Yep.
Then you eat Steak and Shake or whatever.
Steak Escape.
Or Steak and Shake if you got it.
I suppose if you have it.
Then you get another Cato's Cajun sample. That's what you do is you just get as many of the samples as you can.
That's fair. Samples are delicious.
Yeah. Just pretend you didn't have one yet.
I don't think they would care if you took the whole tray.
I'm pretty sure if you just stood there eating off the tray, the guy'd be like, yep, sure, nope, don't care, whatever.
He might care.
He might? I don't know.
He might care if he got yelled at.
That one really loyal employee.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. Well, I assume that at least one of the people working there at all times is one of the franchisees.
Maybe. That may be true.
I feel like that's a small enough place that's like a husband and wife team, and one of them is always there.
I don't know. It depends. How many they own? Because if they own a couple of different franchises.
Because Yummy Yummy Guy isn't there, and I always assumed he owned the place because he was there literally
all
24/7.
Yeah.
The guy at Firehouse Subs definitely owns the place.
He definitely owns it. The one that's always like super peppy and like running orders out of the tables. The one
on Mineral Point.
On Mineral Point.
See, there's one like a block from my house too.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
But what made
Dunkin' Donuts just opened up next to it, so that's a dangerous place to be.
That's dangerous.
Is we used to go on Fridays, the four of us. We didn't invite you. And and like he memorized everybody's name but mine.
Yeah, that's true. He never learned yours. He still has that. It might be because we used to put our order together on my name.
No, I would order separately because I usually got there at a different time than you guys.
I don't know.
Did you get New York Steamer? Because that's the best goddamn sandwich.
The Cleveland?
No. I always got the steak sandwich.
The New York Steamer is delicious.
I really like the meatball sub.
You can like the meatball sub, but the New York
with pepperoni
Steamer.
On it.
The cheddar, the thing with the meat.
The brisket one?
The brisket.
The brisket's phenomenal. Also amazing, although the brisket
I'm
I need
sure
a toilet within
also
10 minutes.
Phenomenal, but my guess is that you've never had a New York Steamer.
I'm guessing that we haven't eaten yet today, and that's why we're all talking about food.
I've eaten.
Yeah, we had.
I just made Indian food before I came over. I made tikka masala, they were out of samosa at the grocery store, so I got pork buns instead, which isn't ethnically correct, but,
no, but
I didn't
delicious.
Care because pork buns are delicious.
Pork buns are delicious.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Zappity.
We had chicken from Brennan's.
That's true. Chicken cordon. I had chicken cordon bleu.
Yeah.
It was good.
I had chicken with garlic and butter and chives.
Which was also tasty.
It was delicious.
Do we have Zappities?
Anything that's not talking about what food we ate or what restaurants exist around our house.
Everyone watching this episode is either angry or hungry or hangry.
I think they're gone. I'm sorry, Arctic Circle. Arctic Circle was like chatting and being helpful, and he's just like, I give up on life.
Yeah,
no, he was fine with it.
What
I mean,
kind?
To be honest with you, people listen to us all the time. They
that's
listen
true.
To us for, you know, 200 some episodes. And we've talked about a lot of stuff.
But sometimes we do realize, because I've got thank yous when we've talked and suddenly people like spent 5 minutes talking about their plans for tomorrow to hang out. And they're like, thank you for stopping that.
Or, well, yeah.
And we get yelled at for when I like, talk about the food place a little bit too much. I mean, those are places where they do like our banter, but they don't need 30
that's
minutes
fair.
Of us.
So we have an actual Zappity here.
Was Radar Love in Baby Driver?
The song?
Yeah.
Not that I remember, but maybe.
There's a lot
of music in the movie.
My ex-wife just texted me and said, I need to see Baby Driver. And she says that every time she hears Radar Love, she thinks of my insistence of it being the best driving song ever, which it is.
Mm. It's definitely not referred to as the best driving song in that movie.
There's a Queen song they use. Well, there's a Queen song that they use.
Yeah, but honestly, in my opinion,
Fuel is a good one, too. But there's, Radar Love's a classic driving song.
It is a classic driving song, but I still think, and this can go into almost every single movie ever made, and it was proven to me that like a year after I quoted it, Magic Carpet Ride.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, it's great for the first warp flight ever.
Yes, exactly. Well, that was the part, because I was ranting about that for like a good year before I saw First Contact. And then when it started in First Contact, I'm like, yeah. Because, go. Go had it as well.
Guts and
that's a great sequence.
So what kind of hero or villain archetype would you be if you were a character in a video game?
What archetypes are we talking about?
Jeremy would be a rogue.
Yeah, I would probably be a rogue. That's fair.
Be a rogue.
If we're talking like RPG archetypes, I'd almost definitely be a rogue.
Yeah.
You're not the boss of me. Does anyone else have
Zappity.
An answer? No one else has an answer, apparently.
I'd be a villain archetype.
Yeah, I'm not sure what villain archetypes there are.
My personal spirit animal is Dr. Zachary Smith from Lost in Space. I would try to behave exactly like that at all times.
Like a creepy like pedophile? A
creepy pedo?
Not a creepy pedophile, like a sniveling coward. Thank you, Andy. A sniveling coward who thinks only of himself and will sell out the rest of the crew in a nanosecond if it means that he survives. I am Benny from The Mummy.
Yeah, you are Benny from The Mummy.
And I'm not afraid to admit it.
And I'm not even sure, 100% sure Benny's a villain.
Tell you what, all those fucking cowboys get eaten. Benny doesn't.
Yeah.
You know,
Benny goes on in a pretty bad way, though.
Benny does, but he could have got, he fucks up at the end there, but the allying himself with the mummy wasn't what screwed him over. That was a smart decision at the time.
It was.
Yeah, well, it was either that or die. So you got any of those are your choices.
I'll go with the not dying part.
Anybody else got a zappy for us?
That was that, and then we have a couple of Twitches in that, too.
Let's hear them.
Or not Twitch, but Twitter. So how do you all foresee Grimkin being a successful mini-faction for Worm Hordes?
Probably.
It seems like it. It scratches a niche for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, definitely. The theme of it, the aesthetics of it, and the gameplay mechanics got that different, interesting little tweak to it.
They do.
Yeah. Although, if they're really going to release a faction every year, there's always going to be a new hotness. And so I wonder about people staying with Grimkin.
Yeah, I'm not sure people stay with it, but I think that people will definitely buy into it.
You can almost think of it like this, though, too. For the past, 4 years, they've been releasing almost a new faction a year. Or 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, but I know a lot of people that are already hopping off of, for instance, Cirrus and hopping off of the Crix sub... Not Crix, the Merc sub-faction.
Cephalix.
Like, I already know people that, bought into... They bought into the Cephalix, or they bought into the why am I forgetting your faction's name?
Cirrus.
And then quickly hopped out of them again, within a year or two.
Sure.
But the thing is, though, with Convergence and Grimkin, they're more of a complete faction, as Cephalix is more of a sub-faction.
I would agree.
And I'm almost guessing that that's probably what the new factions a year will be. Is like a full on sub faction,
a contained sub faction.
Like it'll be like maybe the defectors of Lael or something like that, and it'll be like a mercenary sub faction.
It's possible
That may be able to take some Kator allies and maybe even some Signar allies or something like that. But I don't know. I think it'll be fine. I mean, it's interesting. It has has that creepy.
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea.
Fables itch that people seem to like.
I like it. I mean, they tempted me, but whatever.
Zappity.
Yeah. I have to buy all six of their goddamn casters.
Well, yeah.
Arctic Circle specified more that its archetypes includes things like Noble, Demon, Magnificent Bastard, or Psychopath. So it means what kind of, personality-wise. Sure.
Brian would be a psychopath. Sociopath? Psychopath.
He'd be the cleanse the earth kind of thing. He'd be the cleanse the earth kind of thing.
Yeah,
like the greater good, like Zorg. He's the Zorg, this chaos is actually making things better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Okay.
Well, I guess I don't know. I didn't have a follow-up. Did you have more?
Well, the other... nobody else answered now that we had a clarification.
Well,
just because I said what Brian is doesn't mean that I answered that it's...
Does anyone
know? You're Benny. You're a rogue.
Mm-hmm.
You're cleanse the earth.
I think our Zappity Grumbles have always been too much in depth.
Okay, I'm sorry. So tell you what, ask the next question. One of us will answer. Jeremy will say Zappity, and we'll move on.
Perfect. I love the system.
I didn't want to hear out of anybody else anyway. Fuck all y'all.
I don't even know.
No, shut up, Katie. Shut up. Jeremy already said Zappity.
That's sexist.
Well, apparently.
You're silencing my voice because I'm a female.
No, Jeremy's silencing your voice. And it's not because you're a female. It's because Jeremy's egotistical.
I would never silence her voice.
No, you're the one who told me to shut up.
He's the one who told you to shut up when he's zapping.
He's trying to be efficient.
Yeah, okay. He's trying to finish quickly.
Always asking him to finish quickly. Continue.
Zappity.
Come on.
I guess our questions are also not ones that really require yes, no, quick answer type things either.
They used to be.
They used to be a long time ago.
They used to be a long time ago.
Yeah. So with the advent of PP card site, does it affect people buying War Room in the future? For my answer for that, the card site is cool, but printing out cards costs money.
Zappity.
War Room is much cheaper.
That's how we do Zappity Grumble now.
Yeah, I'm not.
Hey, you're not allowed to answer. One person, 75% answered. The new rules are we're done.
I'm sorry,
I get your joke. It's a boring topic.
Grumble.
Grumble, grumble.
That makes more sense.
Okay, I'm glad.
All right, I'm gonna start directing these specifically to people now. So, Katie,
but I actually want to answer the last one. Oh no!
You hoisted on your own petard.
Oh, petard!
Katie, who's your favorite Batman rogue gallery? And
I have no idea what that means.
Villain. Who's your favorite Batman villain?
Oh,
Zappity.
Crumble. Brian, proper way to cook chicken? Should it be completely brown?
What?
No.
Chicken doesn't turn
brown?
It does eventually when you pan fry the outside.
Oh my god.
Grumble.
Are we out of questions? Then it turns black.
Oh, Andy would be the Pamela Voorhees Hufflepuff style of villain where he's avenging somebody because he's got such a big heart. Katie's the chick from Audition. The card thing won't replace War Room because War Room has actual in-game usage functionality, whereas the card website doesn't. The best Batman Rogues villain is either the Ventriloquist or Scarecrow.
Scarecrow is pretty good.
A little brown, but you're going to put sauce and shit on it anyway, so it doesn't really matter as long as it's not pink in the middle.
Chicken shouldn't be brown.
That's a weird color for chicken, in my opinion.
Probably on the
if you pan fry like a whole skinless chicken breast, it turns brown on the outside.
If you pan fry in oil, I guess.
Yeah,
but that happens long before the meat's cooked.
I was thinking the inside is brown.
They don't mean chicken itself, like a rotisserie chicken.
Like a rotisserie chicken?
That would be brown on the outside.
Well, it better be.
It better be. Otherwise, the chicken's raw.
Yeah.
I'm confused by the question.
All right, so.
Don't Google it.
No, I'm getting a picture to show you. Like,
so I'm gonna go ahead and do the next Zappity Grumble.
All right,
this chicken breast is brown on the outside because
Jeremy, you're up.
Sure.
I assume that's what they mean.
You've mentioned it before, but what is a better version of Catan?
The better version of Settlers of Catan?
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things.
Zappity.
Every game?
The best version of Catan is Cities and Knights of Catan, but there's still better games.
There are way better games than Settlers. Like, if what you're looking for is the trading mechanic, then, because that's what most people are looking for, then I guess...
Bonanza.
Bonanza's actually not bad.
Because it's quick, it's just the trading, there's none of that dice rolling bullshit, you don't sit there for 15 hours.
I don't know that it's, in my opinion, the best.
I don't think it's the trading aspect that people.
So what is it that draws people to Settlers? Because a lot of people love
Andy
Settlers.
Andy desperately wants Brian to say Zappity, but it's Zappity karate chop motions. He's like, cut this off.
I look forward to those of you listening to that at home, not knowing what was just going on.
I just look over here and they're just making karate chop noises while their eyes get wider and they stare at each other. Because Andy was being more and more emphatic, and Brian was just mirroring his energy, having no clue what was happening. It's just a very excited karate chop contest.
All right, that's it for Zappity Grumble.
All right, bye.
Your recommendations. Have you not been here before?
No, Katie's helping.
She already recommended.
She did.
What did you recommend?
Baby Driver. No, she recommended Power Rangers.
That's right.
Go.
Go, Power Rangers.
Yeah, that's what I was referencing that.
I know.
Good job. Great job, the chort.
Oh, wait, there's a couple more.
Oh, no, they're all awful.
So I'm going to say, Nathan, have you read the first Law series, and what's your opinions?
It sounds familiar, but
I haven't
read it.
It's Joe Abercrombie, the guy who makes the pants.
Oh, then no, I have not read Abercrombie and Fitch's first Law series.
Zappity.
I've never read the author, but I heard he's good. He's a blind spot reading.
You are not obeying the Zappity.
Grumble! He's a rebel, Dottie. A loner.
All right, Katie?
What?
Katie, what is the 75% of the number of friends that Brian would help move?
One is Chris.
That might be 75% of the friends Brian would help move.
Does his mom count as a friend?
I told her she's on her own and she moves again.
Nope.
Apparently not.
He'd have to help Jordan because he lives with him.
No, I don't know that he would.
Move his own stuff. I don't think that Jordan would offer.
I don't think Jordan would ask, but even if he did, I don't think Brian would agree.
Jordan used to help Jordan move back and forth.
Oh, Jordan used to move so much.
And he used to help us a lot. But
even if I moved with Jordan, I would get movers, so he couldn't even ask me. I got movers for my stuff. I just like watch him carry stuff back and forth.
I think at this point he would just hire movers.
I think Jordan would, yeah, at this point.
Or he'd ask Ted and his brothers.
Yeah, the Glomsky family moving company is what Jordan would use.
Yeah.
Zavity.
Grumble.
All right.
Jen's the other person I'd help move.
That's Chris's wife.
I mean, it's a two for one. I can't help when they combined.
Wait, if she leaves him and they're both moving to different places,
will you still help her?
I would. It would be an awkward situation, but I'd have to. You know,
you're a good friend.
Yeah.
And you come in to grab a box, you're like, "Sorry, Chris." I'm really sorry, Chris.
Do you want me to drive?
You just think he's in the corner watching this the entire time?
Yeah, he's just sitting there just glaring.
He'd be in the corner. I think he'd be in the corner growling / crying, like alternating.
And just drinking.
Per box, drinking heavily.
Booze in one hand, ice cream in the other.
Why wouldn't you just make it like a grasshopper? Why would they have to be in two? You just combine them.
Katie inefficiency.
Zappity.
All right, recommendations.
Life hacked.
I recommend a grasshopper.
They are delicious.
Yep.
That's a fact. I actually recommend Big Brother. I am the new season just started up, and it's absurd, and I enjoy it so much.
There's almost so much.
There's only one sad thing that's already happened this season, and it's two episodes have aired. Less than a week, and a sad thing has already happened.
I don't know that it's sad. I think that that adds to the value of what I watch Big Brother for.
That might be.
12 hours left on the Deception Kickstarter.
Which one?
The murder hidden traitor game that I have, the one that's like Mysterium.
Fui.
No. The one that's
Oh my god.
The one that's like Mysterium. I know Mysterium.
You've
yeah.
done a lot of stupid shit in your life,
uh-huh.
Jeremy.
True.
But that is far and above
the
stupidest goddamn
thing. I would argue that's
nothing
not true.
Is stupider than your stupid face making that stupid noise out of your stupid pie hole. You stupid, stupid.
Some would say it's retarded.
It is an insult to retarded people. Even the jokey stereotype, over the top, simple jack retarded person to say that they're as stupid as his stupid, dumb face making that stupid noise.
It does kind of make that Magnum, you know, the Magnum look.
We
from that's
probably,
kind of what yeah. he, that's kind of the face he makes when he says that word.
FYI.
I think he heard his face trying.
He hurt his face trying to do a stupid thing. And he just hit his face again.
No, I've been hitting this with my hand.
Oh, okay. Your nose is your hand?
But
I was
face
watching.
Your did look real bad. But you got to the lips. You got to the lips.
What is happening?
That's his normal face.
What is happening right now?
Oh, God.
Oh, that hurt.
Timestamp that shit. I will make that my avatar on the Muse forums.
Okay, let me give you another cut.
Facebook, I will get that tattooed. That's a new T-shirt.
You gotta pucker. You have to pucker more.
Yeah. I'm gonna make a T-shirt with that stupid face,
it's
and it'll have
duck lips and more kissy face.
FWEEEE underneath it, with that stupid face above it.
Wait, I need a shirt of that face that says "Hands off, lady."
It's all mine.
That should be on your T-shirt of unplayable trash. No, to explain to the audience what
just happened.
Jeremy likes to pronounce FYI as
fui. As fui.
Why?
Well, if you pronounce it, it's F and then a Y and then a fui, obviously.
Is it FWI?
No, it's obviously fui.
No, FWI would be fui.
No, it's fui.
Name any time when a Y makes a W.
In fui.
Fuck this guy. Watch it.
Wodle.
Wodle. Wick-whack.
Wick Whack?
Yik Yak was an old Yik-yak. Was a chat program.
Yik Yak. Oh my god.
Don't come back. It's Wickety Whack.
It's like it's just going down the drain.
Woo are an idiot.
That time I hit him with my face. Katie snort. What the fuck? Winning.
What the hell? All right, so I'll go.
Anyway, there's the murder implements, sure, and the clue cards and the killer point pick two, and we played it.
And
right?
Mysterium, yeah.
Yeah, not Mysterium, you son of a fucking.
Is it Clue?
No, it's the one where someone gets a picture of a thing, and then he has to. You have other pictures, and you describe what they are. And you keep giving clues.
One of you happens to be the killer.
That's Mysterium, and that continues to not be deception. The point is, there's a Kickstarter for an expansion to Deception. It has 12 hours left as of right now, which means it'll be over by the time this is posted, but it's live now if you're watching live on Twitch, and you should go back it because it's a fun fucking game. Fuck you,
and the person
Jeremy.
Who's talking is the one who died, right? That's the person who's...
Yeah, sure. For those of you who have played it, who aren't following the Kickstarter, they have an interesting, cool new role that I'm excited to implement next time I play it, even without the expansion, which is... because you two have played it at least, right?
I've stopped playing all social games like that. So okay. I have watched people play it, though. I've watched you guys argue a lot at War Machine Weekend because someone was beating
up. Yeah, I played it at War Machine Weekend.
I played that game.
Yeah, with the
you guys have all played it.
Yeah, no, I knew what he was talking about.
We're not on the same page.
Anyway, saw Jim get very, very mad at someone in that game.
Yes. A new role they put in. So there's the killer and then there's the accomplice. Instead of the normal accomplice, they have, I forget what they call it, but they pick a combo on another player, and if that combo is ever accused, the killer's team wins.
Oh, so it's like they're trying to frame someone or something?
They're trying to frame somebody, exactly. Okay. And so if they have, like, an axe and like, pesticide, somebody else might have a table saw and poison.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a cutting implement and something lethal to drink, and so maybe the clue giver will accidentally get him there instead.
Okay.
So that seems pretty cool.
That is pretty neat.
Interesting. That's a layer of strategy. Fuck you, Jeremy. Fuck woo. Fuck woo.
Non-Euclidean Nick Fui says that he really enjoyed that.
Oh, Christ.
I hate him so much.
Anyway, I hate.
Nano Angstroms.
Anyway, I recommend Big Brother. It's very enjoyable. The new season just started.
Are we still in your recommendation?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we jumped back to Nathan's at one. Well, not even his recommendation. The thing someone else talked about. Yeah.
Andy's next. You're done. Go, Andy.
Zaffity.
Come on.
Are ye still in war recommendations? Because W is pronounced like a Y and Y is pronounced like W. So instead of we and your, it's ye and war.
I have a very important recommendation.
Like what?
Don't listen to this episode. Stop whatever you're doing before you start this episode and don't listen to it.
Invent time travel so Ryan can warn you not
Andy,
to listen.
Post
to
that at the beginning of the episode.
Don't listen to this.
No, I'm leaving it where it is. It's not good
it'll
for
be a flash forward like in the Genius Show. That show I recommended.
Yeah.
You guys are going to
son of a bitch.
Nailed it.
I have to say something else about something else.
Sure.
Doctor Who current season finished and it ended very well.
Good.
I would say I liked last season might have been my favorite season of the show of all time
of the new, obviously. Go back past the guy.
The new Who.
Yeah, new Who.
Last season I think was my favorite. This season I thought was at all times decent, but I thought it ended exceptionally strong, which is always a good way to end the show.
Yeah.
And it did end where you need to watch. I mean, it doesn't have a full resolution because it's Capaldi's on his way out because they're switching doctors and everything. So it's kind of to be continued to the Christmas episode, but it was still amazing. And the last scene, what they did was just like mind blowing. But it was a great episode.
How much Strax?
Sadly, Strax has not been with this doctor. That is the biggest flaw of the season. Capaldi is such a good Doctor Who, and they have a bit of Missy this season. They did a much better job of just having just the... I mean, she's in it more, but they still don't overdo her like they did with River Song.
I rewatched him in the castle randomly a couple times. Yeah. Like every like 2-3 months, I'm like, I need to watch that hour of television.
Yeah,
that's such a great fucking episode of television.
Capaldi just has really powerful eyebrows, so when he gets like mad and angry, his eyebrows really enhance his speeches.
Do you want eyebrow transplants? Like you can take some from here and put them right here, and then you can have powerful eyebrows.
Have you watched the thick of it?
I've only watched scenes of it.
Okay, as long as you've watched scenes of his character murdering people with his mouth.
He's leaving the show partially because the show is so exhausting to him, but he puts so much into it.
Does he kill
see
them softly?
His surgical strike Capaldi just does that for an episode at a time. I'm verbally. Thinking of it. That's all it is. It's him just destroying people.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
it's amazing.
It's amazing. I also recommend that Nathan watch season 2 of The Genius.
Can do. You Sorry. Need to watch season 3 so you're still ahead of me.
Yeah. Are we going to watch it all together in a group?
Gay.
That's not our group.
How would that be gay?
Because we'd be making out time. While watching it.
No, you don't have to make out. It'd just be a happy time.
I'm only happy when I'm making out.
Okay, well, that's, you know, that's your choice. It's your choice.
All right, everybody.
Thank you for listening.
I apologize for everything. We crossed some lines. I think. Maybe.
Recommending something.
Me too.
Yeah.
just go.
No, you could pull the chute whenever you want.
No, I was just telling our listeners they should have.
They should already be gone. They really should.
But anyway, I'm sure these two will bring it. Your recommendations are going to bring the show back.
I recommend Every Frame a Painting. It is a YouTube channel where a guy talks about filmmaking and aspects of it that you may not have considered. And 75% of the other podcast members now have their phone out. So I guess I'm done.
I'm listening still.
My phone has been out. You already told us about this.
To be fair, we did just talk about this the other day.
I didn't tell you this anecdote, though.
Okay.
So, because this happened after that. So Every Frame a Painting is very interesting. You watch and they talk about, like, things that you haven't thought about and types of shots and types of composition and types of music. It's really worth watching. The one I mentioned to Jeremy and Katie, he talks about music in films now versus the past. And the example he started with, he was interviewing these people on the street and he said, hum a song from Star Wars. And of course, everybody was able to do Luke's theme from Star Wars or the Imperial March or something. He's like, now do James Bond. And everybody had the James Bond theme. And he said, okay, now do Harry Potter. And everybody knew the Harry Potter theme. And he said, now any song from a Marvel movie. And nothing. And he talks about why is that? Like, why don't we know these themes anymore? What is it about Hollywood movies? And it's interesting shit. And he goes into a lot of details. It was really, really cool.
Well, but to be fair, it's also, like, DC does Wonder Woman really. Like, they just don't get, like, Marvel just doesn't do that where DC does kind of give.
I can't hum any music from Wonder Woman except for the Linda Carter theme song from the.
No, but
no,
I mean, well,
Wonder Woman has a very specific theme music.
But I could.
It's for the movie.
Yeah, I just can't make sounds well.
Okay.
But in general.
But the point is, it's interesting stuff to watch, and they talk about things like framing. I talked about the quadrant theory, which is when you have the screen, the left side and the right side. Like, if you cover up one half, the other half should still tell an independent story. And same with top and bottom. Like, if you cover up the top or the bottom, there's something independently going on both those things. And I mentioned that one specifically because then I mentioned that we bought Unforgiven when we went to the store. And I was watching Unforgiven with Raylene, and, like, halfway through it, she punches me. I'm like, why'd you do that? She's like, all I can fucking do is think of quadrants while I'm watching this goddamn movie.
And I'm gonna say that is my recommendation to be careful with stuff like that because you will. Like I mentioned, the cut thing. Like a lot of movies are hard for me to enjoy now because of the edits.
Yep.
And things like that stick out, and it hinders my enjoyment because of that. And I also think you're right about the quadrants and stuff like that. But I think some movies don't adhere to that. And then some people will be like, well, that movie didn't... there's someone that's talking about Star Wars, like, well, every time that so-and-so walked down the stairs, he was descending into badness and going up was a character going to goodness. You know, it was all this, like, BS stuff that wasn't
at
all accurate, but they just needed to pull something into a movie.
Sometimes BS and sometimes not. It's hard to tell. Like, with Unforgiven, you know the scene where Little Bill... is talking about English Bob, and he tells the author to, like, give the gun to English Bob and whatever. So every time they cut to a shot of Little Bill, you only see him because it's being seen from – the camera is English Bob's eyes.
Okay.
And English Bob is looking at Little Bill because he's being affronted upon by this man. And when they cut from the other frame, the camera's behind Little Bill so that you see Little Bill physically looming over English Bob, who's small in the distance from the shot.
Hmm.
And so the power is felt in the shot, and that's an intentional thing.
But sometimes, like you said,
just random bullshit. People are pulling out their butts to seem
artsy-fartsy. And I mean, movies like that are like that caliber movie are going to use that throughout the movie. But there will be a few scenes where it's just a scene to film, but it's like, I think there's always a fine line between analyzing something and just like having something shoved too far up your ass to really know what you're talking about.
The Quinket reviews have a line that they use a lot where he says, you may not have noticed, but your brain did.
Yeah.
Where some of these films, you're like, yeah, that film was like, you know, it was artistic and it was more, you know, art. You know, it was cinema versus a flick, and you don't know why. This YouTube channel kind of breaks down those whys that you've never thought about where you're like, oh, yeah, I guess that is something that I've subconsciously noticed. But, yeah, don't get your head so far up your ass that you think it constantly. Because that's how I view movies, and it's ruined my life.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's sometimes where filmmakers just want to have that shot because it's a really cool-looking shot.
it's fine. I mean,
it doesn't. There's no other reason for it other than it looks really awesome at that angle.
But that's a good enough reason. Like, yeah. That is still a reason. It's if they just do shot, shot, reverse shot for dialogue because they're lazy and don't know how to do interesting shots. I'll take a cool shot that's just cool for the sake of being cool over a boring shot that's workmanship.
Sure.
You know what I mean? They don't have to frame it like a fucking Salvador Dali painting every time, but at least be cool.
Yeah.
And there's good like editing techniques or things you can do in a movie, even if it's not artistic. You can still make a good movie and use good techniques throughout any kind of movie, regardless of what it's trying to be.
Yeah. And these videos are like, they vary from like 3 to 10 minutes long. They're short. They're interesting. These aren't like big 2-hour long diatribes. So, watch a handful of them and see if you like them.
Was this the one where they were talking about the sequence between Doctor Strange and Spider-Man? Was that same?
No, I don't think it's those guys. But there's a lot of channels like this one. Okay. Like, there's Cinefix, and there's
okay, the something different.
Something like a scene from a screenplay or something like that. sure. But Every Frame of Painting, to me, is the most, like, smart one. Like, he's never done a top 10 blah blah blahs. Like, he's always more things like, you could imagine that if you were in film school, there would be an entire day devoted to this topic that he'd gave you a 5-minute snippet of.
Sure. That's fine. All right. So I'm gonna finish the recommendations here on movies. My recommendation is everyone out there should watch Jason X.
Dang straight.
Cause man, I've looked up Jason X recently and I was extremely disappointed by two things. One, by its Rotten Tomatoes ranking, which is about 19%.
Sure.
And by its audience audience score.
As you say.
No. Take a guess what the audience score is.
Is it going to be sadly low as well because it's
sadly
all bitter people?
Low as well.
With Rotten 40? Don't say the number, but with Rotten Tomatoes, even movies that can get under a 20% often will get a 70% audience review. Audiences will still give good reviews. So my things that I balance is it close to 20? And then do the users drop under 70? Because then I won't see it for sure. So 70 and 20 is like my absolute break point.
And you get the reverse. You get like a 90 and a 20 when you get something like It Comes at Night happens, where it's, well, that article I sent to you where they talked about things like that, where like the film is marketed the wrong way, and so all the critics love it, and the audience is like,
But if it's marketed wrong, but anyway, yeah. But so what was the...
25.
Yeah,
see that. I mean,
that shocks me.
That's
movie,
a low user score.
I love Friday the 13th more than anyone I know more than
that's true.
But that movie does have a lot of problems. It's still fun, and you have to like just kind of relax a little bit, enjoy it.
It's a self parody, which is a difficult thing to pull off. And so the problem is, I think that a lot of people aren't going to like Friday the 13th movies off the top. So if you have 100 people, right, and we're getting to 25, like you're going to have 40% of people just straight up don't like slasher flicks.
Correct.
So you're down to 60.
But usually the user views are people who want to go see it. So even if you're Friday fans, you have people who don't want the sci-fi elements. You got people who are going to be you lose them. The quality of that film is a
the budget
size.
Is low.
The budget is low. And even part 8's budget is low. But this movie feels even almost worse than that in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it does got some decent humor, and some of the characters are, I mean, it's a slasher fix. You're not looking for a lot of exciting characters, but they still fail pretty hard on a lot of the characters, too.
But they succeed in having him beating one lady in a sleeping bag to death with another lady in a sleeping bag.
And
how can you not like a movie that has that?
Kind of the funny thing, I was reading the trivia earlier, because I got Jeff to watch Jason X yesterday, and it was his first foray into the Friday the 13th series.
Fair.
But on the trivia I read, that sequence was improvised by Kane Hodder. He was they were recording him doing other things so many times he got sick of it, and he just did that.
Probably did it with like an empty sleeping bag, and then they filmed it into the movie, obviously.
Yeah.
I believe it.
And they put real people in
there. Kane wasn't in the remake. Who was in the remake?
Just a random guy. 7, 8, he was really... 9, and X are all Kane Hodder.
And The Game.
Yes, and The Game.
And that one shitty movie.
He was in Freddy vs. Jason, wasn't he?
No. I'm 99% sure that was not Kane Hodder, the dismay. I might be wrong on that. I might be misremembering that, but I thought people were upset it wasn't Kane Hodder. It's still a good Jason.
Ironically, they had Kane Hodder play Freddy.
Well, I feel that they didn't do it. I mean, they should have. I thought there was a problem with it. I don't remember. And some people don't like Jason versus Freddy. I love that
Those
movie.
People are dumb and wrong.
Yeah, no, Jason X, I mean, it is a schlocky film. It is not very good in the terms of actual quality filmmaking, but some of the deaths in there are very entertaining. One of the deaths was even on Mythbusters.
They're getting sucked through a hole in a spaceship?
No, is the freezing of the face.
And then smashing it against the table.
That was...
Would it work?
No.
If you dump your face in liquid nitrogen and then smash it against a table, your face doesn't shatter?
No.
It doesn't. What about freeze future all the space liquid nitrogen?
Who knows? That's
they're saying it didn't freeze deep enough into the head to shatter. It would just be like your skin would break off.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a Friday the 13th movie that I don't at least like.
Freddy vs. Jason got a 41 round. That's where you expect most slasher Friday to be, like, yes, to be in the 40-ish range. That's kind of where they live.
What I'm saying. Dropping from 40 to 25 isn't as big of a drop as just thinking of 25 compared to
25 100. was user.
It was
I was under 20 for the users was like 60-70% for Friday.
Oh, for Friday. Never mind. Yeah. We weren't talking about this.
But I mean, for Jason X, I honestly feel if that movie came out closer to now, it probably would have a better rating for it. Just for the ironic value. I'm curious.
It's still to be made.
Curious to know how much was from the backlash from Friday the 13th fans, because it was such a departure from the original series.
Yeah, but the original series was wash, rinse, repeat. Like, there's a certain point in time where you're like, all right, we need something different. And that something different is Cyborg Jason in space.
It's just like, when you're watching a film, you don't want to think to yourself, why is this the quality of a literally a bad sci-fi night movie?
Yeah, like, more than it's.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. That's all I think. I don't have anything else.
Katie, what do you think? You're on the edge of your seat with this conversation, obviously.
Have you seen Jason X?
I've never seen any of the Friday 13th movies. You should
watch Jason X.
No, if they watch anything, I'd say the only one they probably would enjoy would be like Friday versus Jason, because it's very amusing.
Yeah, it's.
I would say the remake, but.
I watched Freddy Krueger, and that was really scary.
Which Nightmare in Elm Street?
I don't know which one it was, but it's the one where he has his claws and he puts them up through the car. Like through this car seat, like the front seat,
yeah.
And like, so he kills the lady from like her butt up.
I don't remember this.
I don't remember which one that is. Was that in the Freddy's Dead one? Because I remember like the map, the giant map, and the guy's like, "What's the map saying?" The guy says, "The map says we're fucked." When they're in the van, does she end up getting stabbed there?
It was a girl.
Because that was the one that had 3D when they went into the dream realm at the end. Because I saw that one in the theaters and it had 3D glasses. It's the last 3D movie I saw in theaters before the big resurgence.
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw it at a sleepover when I was in junior high. It was scary.
All right. So we'll call it there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Exciting.
Bye. Awesome.
Thanks, guys, for watching.
We may not be back for a while.
We'll be fine.
No, Katie and I.
Oh.
Yeah, and we'll be fine.
That's also true.